Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Tomorrow, we won't spend any time talking about the All-Star game tomorrow. Maybe the Home Run Derby. Who knows? We'll do other stuff. We will start our journey into Is Andy Dalton Good Enough Week here. Since it is All-Star Week.
Curtis Granderson.
Oh, that's right. We're supposed to talk with Curtis. Okay. I like that. I enjoy Curtis. He's a very smart dude. He should run for mayor of Chicago at some point in his life. But until then, I get the opportunity to talk with the Tag Team Champions Parkins and Spiegel. Hello, boys.
What's up, Lawrence? What's up, Speaks?
Hello, Danny. Lawrence, did it ever get discussed between you and Danny just how much your mayoral platform, at least of the past that I remember, dovetails nicely with what Austin Harvest has done in the neighborhood?
Yeah, I joked about that on the show after the radiothon, where my idea is that I want to outlaw
Honey buns
and Flamin' Hots, because the kids need fresh fruit and vegetables to eat. And that's my platform for being mayor.
I like
2023.
I'm surprised you haven't been elected yet. I mean, I always thought that was very strong and very clear. And it dovetails does quite nicely.
I feel like wear your pants as low as you want. I think that it's bad for your hips, and one should probably invest in hip replacement stock if you can find it because of the youth. Wear your pants however you want.
I just don't get the pants. I need somebody to explain it to me. Like when it's literally below the buttocks and the buttocks are covered with underwear but thoroughly exposed. Like, I don't... What are we going for? What's the goal?
I don't know, but that's what the young folks are doing.
And I just think there was an overcorrection with skinny jeans and tight pants that, like, baggy is more comfortable. It was a terrible look. Like, late 90s, early 2000s, like, if you look at the 2003 NBA draft class, like, LeBron, Melo, Wade, their draft, their
super
suits,
tight pants?
No, baggy. It was still in the baggy era.
We were still in the Steve Harvey era.
They look ridiculous. like those guys are so well-dressed now, and it's all tailored.
Steve Harvey and David Byrne of the Talking Heads.
Yes.
They kind of hang out together with the big suits.
Yeah, you get the giant suits, and, it's not great. You have to learn how to go and get it tapered and tailored and all that.
But don't you
stuff.
Think that there's always been this clash between, like, baggy and tight?
Yes.
And you've got to find, like, it was cool when the Fab Five took the short shorts and made them baggy.
Right.
But if you sag baggy basketball shorts, they become cargo pants. Like, they're down to your ankles.
And it can be, if you're someone who actually, like, is dribbling the ball, it can be problematic.
Yes, absolutely. But as someone who has no hips or buttocks, my wife often complains.
She wants you in some skinny jeans?
No, she wants me in pants that fit. She doesn't like me seeing the crack. Like, you know what I mean? She's like, this is ridiculous.
Not a fan of the plumbing industry.
Yeah, she's like, what are you doing? Get a belt that fits.
But Danny, the issue is comfort, though.
Like, that's what I'm going for.
That's the problem. And even if we're talking about, like, I deal with this because, I've had surgery, so I've got scars that are, like, right here. And so I usually wear baggier pants because it hurts to wear a tighter pant and sit down.
like the standing up and walking around, if you're going to be at an event where you're doing that, you can wear something that's a little tighter because you don't have to worry about it. It's the sitting down part. It's the unbutton the top button thing when you're sitting down.
Or the bottom button on the shirt situation.
Right.
That some of us deal with.
Right. I mean, so I get all of it, but it's just a matter of how baggy can you go before it looks bad.
Danny, are you implying that there is going to be a tight short resurgence at some point? There'll be a tight pushback here?
I'm saying if shorts go the way that pants have gone, they can't be that far around the corner. Like the style.
In an athletic setting, though?
Yes. Some of the guys in the NBA were actually doing that this year.
To show off the.
And college basketball, for sure. I want to say it was one of the kids that got drafted from Michigan over the last couple of years. Like his whole thing was he was wearing his shorts tighter and higher for performance.
Interesting.
And there was a kid, God, I can't believe we used to call his games. A kid used to play for St. John's who used to pin his shorts up for the same reason. Like he had like a bigger short, but he pinned them and it was the same. He's one of their shot blockers. It was like a whole thing with him. So we are seeing some of those.
Not Boo Harvey. I just thought of Boo Harvey for some reason.
No,
so it makes me happy to say Boo Harvey.
And if I had that type of leg
definition,
Eric King, like I'd be okay with maybe showing it off a little bit. But no, I think that I want a little bit of bagginess. And if I'm not going to be completely in style, that's fine with me. I'm going for comfort with my dress, and it's mainly because I'm married. Look, so I don't have to try as hard anymore.
Boo Harvey brings me to ridiculous names, which brings me to this. Did you guys even notice that there was a player on the St. Louis Cardinals this weekend named Lars Nootbaar? Did you guys catch this?
That sounds like a tasty treat.
There's obviously nougat involved somewhere in the Lars Nootbaar. But Lars Nootbaar, member of the Cardinals, available if you're paying attention to Cubs games, which very few people are.
He could be related to the Coneheads, too.
He spells Nootbaar with two O's and two A's.
Two A's, baby. It must mean he's Dutch or Danish.
Is there an umlaut in there somewhere? Because that would be awesome.
No, it's just Nootbaar.
It feels like somebody made a mistake at the candy factory.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's like, oh, yeah, this is the Mars Lootbaar. Is what it is. But
I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with this guy's work and clearly should have been paying attention to a team that doesn't deserve my attention.
No, you shouldn't.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they told you yesterday. They were like, we're good.
Not enough guys are trying hard. Okay, fine.
No, I mean, just the whole, it's kind of raining.
It's sort of raining. Yeah.
Let's just pack that in, shall we?
Let's just start the All-Star break sooner.
Contreras in line for a scheduled day off yesterday. Apparently, supposedly, a scheduled day off yesterday.
I'm hanging out the big not interested sign on this controversy.
Completely fair.
If they don't care, why should I? They have set a standard of competitiveness. I don't know that I have to be. Like I gotta just care for about a 77 win team?
No,
I don't.
That's not what's at issue here. What's at issue with this controversy is just how clean the slate is going to get, and just how clean it should get, and what people should be prepared for, and that includes Rizzo and Contreras, and if a side needs to be picked. And just how far Jed Hoyer is going to go and how far he should go. That part of it very much interests me.
Yeah, well, and that part has been a variation of the conversation we've had for years, frankly, about that. Like, I don't think that Jed Hoyer is going to trade someone because their effort was called out by Wilson Contreras, right? And I don't also believe that these guys can't work together. Like, if Rizzo and Contreras were the ones who stayed, I believe that they could coexist and win at a high level because we've seen it before.
Yeah, but this isn't really even about, like, the effort on a day-to-day basis. It's about, like, do you prepare yourself every year for the spring? Do you work really hard to be good at everything? Because Contreras works his ass off to be good at everything.
And the only thing that I would say, Danny, to your point about them coexisting is they're at different places now. Remember when this first started, Willie was like the prospect, like he came up, then he still had a lot to learn, and you might end up deciding to play David Ross in some of these situations instead of Wilson because he was still learning how to make the move over from an infielder to being a catcher. he might now be at a position where he is asserting leadership that he feels that he has earned.
He's trying to.
Over the last 5 years, that maybe if in the case of you brought up it being Contreras Rizzo and there's the thing in San Francisco, that maybe Anthony Rizzo isn't willing to accept at this point because of what his role has been in front of the public when it comes to leadership on this team.
In front of the public. Remember how everybody has been wanting Anthony Rizzo to lead and wanting to call him a leader? I think it was late 2017. No, it was early 2018. It was early 2018 after the spring, and there was a glut of stories about how Anthony Rizzo was stepping up as a leader. And Theo said, whoa, hold on. And you can find stuff from after 2018 at the winter meetings where Theo's like, Anthony Rizzo wants to be a leader, and he wants to add that to his pile and all this. Like, people have been wanting him to do that and kind of expecting him to do that. And I don't think it's happened, which has become its own kind of leadership. When you lead by not communicating, all of a sudden you get some chaos there. And people have been waiting for that dude to step into the breach, and he has not. So I think Contreras finally sort of called that out, and I don't think it went over very well at all.
Well, it clearly didn't, with what David Ross said. And also, I think it's hard to say exactly what Wilson Contreras meant. Like, there was a lot of ambiguity there in what was he talking about preparation? Was he talking about work ethic? Was he talking about effort? And
was he talking about cheerleading?
Yeah. And
he's talking about preparation, commitment physically every day, not necessarily the visual effort of little things.
Well, he can point a thumb on that one then.
Wilson, in terms of commitment physically every
day? Absolutely. He broke down multiple times over the course of years and had good half seasons and then not had a good 162.
Right, but if he's physically working his ass off and trying to be good, and he's like working his butt off on pitch framing as he has, and he's coming in peak physical condition, that's what he feels comfortable pointing a finger at about for other people. I mean, we had one spring where we were like, oh, look what Anthony's done in the offseason. That was that one spring.
Yeah, where he came in and he was down a little bit of weight and all of that. I mean, we'll see. I'm not convinced that I want to pay Wilson Contreras long-term either, frankly. And it's not because of these comments. It's just because of that position and how it will age. Like, the truth is that all the members of the Cubs core, with the exception of Chris Bryant, are flawed baseball players.
But couldn't you, with Wilson... And I agree with you. Like, the damage that it does to you, that position itself, it just destroys you.
Yeah.
Destroys your body. But couldn't we, with Wilson, say, yeah, he's going to catch for 2 more years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a place to go put him, whether it's in left or at first base or wherever.
As long as he hits well enough.
Oh, as long as he hits well enough, and factor that into your value of what you're going to pay him. You know, but I think part of the reason why it got to this point with none of these guys re-signing early is because they all wanted and want top dollar, right? And so what's Wilson Contreras going to ask for 18 months from now in a contract? 15 months from now in a contract?
Yeah, I don't
Six
know.
Months from now.
It's going to be they'll try at the end of the season. But my guess is, like all of these guys, when you get to 1 year from free agency, the thought is, why negotiate with one team? When I can negotiate with 30 if I play one more season at a good number for arbitration. And so I Chris Bryant, I would pay, and I'd be interested in them paying top dollar for. All the other ones, I'm fine.
Here's why this thing got to me this weekend, and I find it interesting, whereas I know you don't, Danny, and I get it.
I find levels of it okay, but they stink. So,
I know, but this is the first real ugly thing. This is like the first, is this going to be what we have? And there's a whole half a year left of like factions against each other and finger pointing and Ross having to go in there and play Papa and facilitate conversations. And it's like, you know, is it going to end this ugly? Does it have to end ugly? Do things like this always end ugly? And maybe that answer is yes. Was it the Bears in 89 and 90? How ugly was it? You know, like, we have now romanticized the whole thing to the point where we can joke about how that ended, you know? But most of these things do end ugly, and I don't think that we've been ready for this Cubs thing to end. One is one thing, but to end ugly,
man.
Where everybody on the way out, you're saying, man, that's a flawed dude and a flawed player, and I don't know how it ever worked, but it's not going to work next year and all of that.
When McMahon left, it broke my heart. It broke my 14-year-old heart when McMahon left. Like, I was I remember seeing the coverage of it, like sitting there talking to my dad and being like, how in the world, how can Jim McMahon not be the quarterback of the Bears?
That was Jordan for me when he was on the Wizards.
And you're like, oh, I see. And of course, now you're like, oh, I totally see it because he wasn't that good anyway.
Yeah.
And by that point, and even when I hear McMahon talk about how the Green Bay thing, his ring in Green Bay is maybe more significant to him than the one in Chicago. I'm like, oh, man, yeah. Keep sticking those daggers in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so here's the point.
I get it.
So when was it McMichael who said that McMahon was like the monkey driving the limousine on that team? Right?
That sounds like a Hamptonism.
It was either McMichael or Hampton.
Yeah.
Who said that McMahon was the monkey driving a limo. And I, you know, we got to, like, were those factions, we know they were kind of at war even when they were winning.
Yeah. Well, it was already offense versus defense.
Right.
But, I mean, there's a couple of different ways that this could faction up, and one of them is right down COVID. Like, that there is a faction in the Cubs clubhouse of people that didn't get vaccinated, even when the front office was like, guys, it would help us.
Please do this for any number of reasons. And Contreras and Baez are out there. I know Contreras was doing PSAs.
Baez was, too.
And Bryant.
And Bryant's on buses and billboards and all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah.
It's certainly one way for it to break down. This team is so frustrating. And I believe Spiegs in the expression, everything ends badly unless it wouldn't end. Right? Like that is...
Otherwise it wouldn't end.
Yeah. John Elway is an exception. Right? Like, don't argue the exception to make the rule, right? Like, if things... Terry Bors got to retire, right? And he got to go out on his own terms. And he got the celebration and the flowers. And it was an amazing thing. Man, and he gets the hallway named after him, and he deserved it. And it's amazing. Man, think about the other people that you know in this business and how few of them get to truly have.
Without a doubt.
It's the same thing in sports. Yeah, it's the same thing in politics.
It's a team, though. Like, right, does the team splinter have to be ugly with finger pointing? And maybe the answer is yes.
Did you watch The Last Dance?
I did.
You know what I mean? Like, it happens.
And they won. And it was still ugly.
Did you see Scottie Pippen 2 weeks ago?
Right.
That was planned.
Yeah. So there's so much. Like, it. Yeah, if things didn't end badly, they wouldn't end. Wow. And so this was
a real glimpse into an unlikable, possible, ugly finish that I'm not looking forward to.
I get it. And that's the sentimentality in you. And I'm not looking forward to it either. Mm. But I will say, All-Star break came at a real good time for them because now other things get to happen. There gets to be other things in the news cycle. Like, they'll be asked about it when they get back together. But presumably,
everyone can get their story together.
Yeah, tensions won't be high, right? Like, this should be something that they can handle from a PR standpoint if they want to. But if Rizzo's pissed and he comes down and is like, oh, that's interesting. Javi Baez got pulled from a game a couple of weeks ago for not running out of ball
right,
hard.
Right, he's going to bring that up.
And he gets protected by – that's it. Like, they could go nuclear on it.
Yes, they could.
And then, of course, I'm here for it.
this is the thing. Like, Ross has work to do to keep it from escalating in that way. And part of the work he did was coming down on Wilson. It was coming down pretty hard on Wilson. And there's room for the nuance here. You got to say that stuff to your teammates, man. You have to.
Yeah, you should keep it in-house.
Yeah, well, I mean, and if you want to go public, you can, but you got to go private first.
Yes.
You can't let them find out after the game that they heard and then be reaching out to people. That's not the way that you're supposed to do that. So, you know, Wilson's got to learn that.
How about this other huge piece of news that Duncan Keith is now a former member of the Chicago Blackhawks?
I can't believe they were able to make a trade.
And
not have to eat the money.
Any of the money, like 0% of the money.
That's
pretty
crazy.
Remarkable.
It's weird, though, because like that part of it obviously helps the Blackhawks field their next competitive team, and that should be discussed and analyzed by at least better hockey analysts than me. I won't lump you two into that. Man, like, Duncan Keith is a legend
big name.
In this city.
Big name.
I mean, a Pantheon Blackhawk. Like I, as the most casual hockey observer that exists, he's like the only person I've ever seen where I could personally notice him making an impact on the defensive end of the ice. I was like, oh, I can tell that you're making a difference and you're controlling the game, but it's not like Kane's impact is easy to see, right? Everyone can appreciate it. Taves' impact, he can do everything, pretty easy to understand. Well, Keith, to me, was like, wow, I could tell how good you were because I actually noticed you. Speaks rolls his eyes at my
hockey point. No. I was not rolling your eyes at that. I was thinking about the Taves thing, that it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to see Taves' value
working
still.
Working in corners, winning faceoffs.
Yeah, but no, I'm not rolling your eyes at it at all because Keith.
Good,
because
that's my only hockey point.
Okay, nailed it. But no, as like a puck-moving defenseman with the skill to skate with the puck and carry coast to coast and to be so good on the power play,
to point
on the point.
Power play,
yes. So you're not wrong, Danny. Like, his impact on the entirety of the offense, like, the whole system kind of worked because Duncan Keith was that dude to play 24, 26 minutes and make
crazy
it work.
Ice time and all the records for that. But, like, Mark Lazarus saying, semi-hot take, Duncan Keith, best player of this Hawks dynasty. Jay Zawoski talking about him being a borderline Mount Rushmore Hawk of all time. Like, it feels like a guy just got traded where the superlative that you attach to him, there isn't one that's too ridiculous or too lofty.
I think
agreed.
It's fair.
But I also think that even Hawks fans, like diehard Hawks fans, are like, it's been time. You know, so
it's those two things, though. Like, are you celebrating the guy? Or are you, because like for the team now, you're right.
But it's been time.
Sure.
That you've seen a diminished player for a lot of different reasons. Part of it because of the amount of ice time that he would log year after year and the deep runs that team would make.
And all the international play with the same amount of ice time playing in all those international tournaments on top of the deep runs. Like, I mean, like doing the math on the minutes that guy played as a defenseman is outrageous.
I mean, there is a parallel to draw between the baseball conversation and the hockey conversation because you're seeing the this is what it looks like when it's drawn out. When things start to go bad and you have to move those players, and some of them you can't move, and it just goes on for a while. You're kind of stuck in, are you still living in Blackhawks Camelot from 2009 onward, or are you ready to move on to the next thing? And one of the things that was holding you back was Duncan Keith.
Keith money and Seabrook money.
And non-movement clauses, which is unique to that sport.
And how do you then go about celebrating all of the stuff that Keith did, like you pointed out, knowing that this is the best thing that could have possibly happened for the Blackhawks as it pertains to Duncan Keith?
I think the only guys left from the Cups are Taves and Kane, aren't they? I mean, pretty much. I mean, Crawford's gone.
Yes.
Brandon Saad's gone. I think those are the only guys left. Danny, it's making me think of something that came up when we were on the golf course the other day in terms of Cubs connective tissue. And you have a bet going. You need David Bodie to get, 400 plate appearances?
400 plate. Mac and I bet $400. Would David Bodie ever have 400 plate appearances in a season?
And you think he will?
I think he will, and Mac thinks he won't.
I think next year you get paid. I think next year is David Bodie's time to shine, and he's going to also be on a billboard and or a giant banner outside of Wrigley as some of the connective tissue from previous Cubs teams.
So it'll be Kyle Hendricks, Wilson Contreras, and David Bodie.
And Baez.
And Baez.
I think Baez is going to come back myself, just a gut.
And Nico Horner.
And Nico Horner. Mm-hmm.
Hey, any way to win a bet? A 72-win Cubs team, but David Bodie collects 460 plate appearances. Yeah! Now I'm locked into September baseball.
Oh, boy.
God. We have a lot to get to today, Lawrence. We're hanging out. The only day this week where all four members of the team are in. Some various people taking various vacations at different times for All-Star Week. We will put in a home run derby pick. We'll talk more about the Cubs drama.
Various people? There's only like four of us here, man.
Yeah, some people are
Tanny
taking
and I reacted.
All right, yeah, fine.
Various people.
Tanny's off tomorrow for the rest of the week. I think we're all off on Friday.
But there are 3 days in between where we will be there.
Various people will be there.
I didn't remember how many. many days you were working, Shane? I'm sorry, but you said in the text you're here
theoretically zero. Physically, four.
Yeah. Today might be your last. So that's what we're doing. We're hanging out unless they all quit.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right.
Sounds good. Boys, have yourselves a show. I'll see you tomorrow.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.